So I had some time off during Christmas and the holidays and the new year and stuff. And my family went to California, spent some time in remote desert places and some dive bars. And my parents took kids for a few days, and my wife and I went and just drove down back roads around some of the areas where I grew up in rural Southern California, like the deserts and the back roads of that area, and had a lot of fun. And when I got back, I had a couple days in the office where it was just me working. I think some other people were working as well, but we didn't have any meetings scheduled. And I spent like a half a day. I even spent a whole day on one of those quote unquote days off, just playing with software, like going through my computer, creating shortcuts, optimizing my environment. And I really enjoyed it. It really reminded me of, you know, when I was younger, you know, before the internet was a thing, really in a big way, dialing into bulletin board services. I even created a bulletin board service with a friend and downloading shareware, playing with different types of, you know, utility apps for the computer. And I started just downloading apps from the Mac App Store, and some of them are really good. There's a program called Be Focused Pro, which I was messing with. There's an app for, like, I never thought I'd use this kind of thing, but I'm using it. There's an app for tracking your water consumption, and it syncs across all your devices. And I just had fun playing with software. And I realized that, at the end of the day, I'm no longer a kid, but like, I think in my heart or whatever, spiritually, I'm just like a kid who likes playing with, likes playing with computers and software. And I think that's why I got into product in the first place. And that's why I learned to develop, right? To write code in the first place. It's not because I'm, really in love with kind of the hardcore aspects of software engineering and infrastructure and architecture and all that. Although I'm intellectually interested in that stuff. But at the end of the day, I really, really, really love product. Like, it delights me to no end. And I love the outdoors and I love hiking and camping, but the part of me that's like indoors just loves just screwing around with software and seeing how different designers and developers solve different UX problems. I remember at my last company, which is still going strong, but I'm no longer there, LeadPages, I remember hiring or interviewing people for product roles. And one of my favorite questions to ask them was, like, what are some of your favorite apps? Like, what's some software that you just really love playing with? These were career product people, right? In software. And I was dumbfounded. I was absolutely dumbfounded by the number of people that like couldn't answer that question. Like, I would often hear that they liked the Mac OS, right? Or like super obvious stuff. They liked Google Docs. And, it's just like whatever they used at work. There was nothing beyond that. Slack. But often it would be hard for them to even come up with those, right? The question was like, what software that really delights you that you're really getting into these days? And almost no one interviewing for that role could say anything other than like, they think their phone is well designed, or they like Google Docs, or that's, they like Slack. Really? You like Slack? Okay. And, I wasn't looking for a replica of me, but I was looking for someone who like had this intellectual curiosity around programs and software and how product should be done, right? They'd make reference to Product Hunt sometimes. They'd be like, oh, I really like browsing Product Hunt. I'd be like, oh, really? What's something that really sticks out on Product Hunt that you enjoyed playing with? Oh, man. And they'd be like, oh, I can't remember. I have a list somewhere. Okay. I'm rambling a bit here. But I think the point I'm getting at, you know, in the spirit of this being a audio journal, I have no idea if this is of interest to you. But I think what I'm getting at here is that just this idea of like, you know, what gets you going. And during the times when I am most frustrated with work, like, you know, there's always that question in the back of my head, like, if I wasn't doing this, what would I be doing? And I know I'm on the right path when I ask myself that question. And the answer is that I'd end up like basically recreating some version of Nomix, which is all, you know, always the answer, right? Because I love product, and this would be the product that I'd build. And if I went about creating that, what frustrations would I have? Like, it would be all the frustrations that I currently have. So like, maybe the best thing for my development as a human is actually to figure out, like, in those moments of most, you know, where I'm most frustrated, like, how I can create a different reality for myself. There's just so many aspects of what we're doing right now that are right, you know, for me as an individual, but, you know, I think on a number of different levels. But this is, you know, I'm indulging myself here in this program, or in this episode. But there's a lot of things here. One, I love developers. Like, I really, really, really like developers and working with developers. Like, and that's partly why we have an API product, right? I mean, like, that personally, you know, I guess this is okay now, right? It's okay these days to build a company that you like. It's called, investors call it founder market fit. So it's not just about me like self-indulgently scratching this itch, right? Like, people actually look for this now. But so I like working with developers, and that's why we have an API product. Like, I like supporting them. I like the questions they ask. I like that in order to create a product for developers, you know, you don't have to start your own brand revolution for the most part, you know, like in the marketing space, if you think about HubSpot, and there's this idea when you create marketing tech, which is the niche I was in before, that you have to, like, you know, create a revolution, right, with your app. Like, you have to create a new type of marketing or whatever. And I think for the most part, my experience is when you create software for developers, that you actually need to solve a problem, and it's, you know, the buying decision for the most part is this very pragmatic assessment about how well you solve that problem. Obviously, you need to have a brand that no one's going to get, you know, no one's going to get in trouble for going with, and credibility helps, and you probably won't even be discovered if you have a good brand. But like, in terms of long-term retention of customers and buying decisions, a lot of it comes down to like, hey, can I get an API key? All right, I'm going to try it out. Is the documentation good? It's about that kind of thing versus like, am I spiritually aligned with this manifesto that this company has written, which, like, we probably won't write a manifesto. I don't know. Maybe I'll eat my words later. So I like working with developers. I also really like the fact that because we're an API company, that we can create a whole bunch of open source things, right? So we're likely going to be open sourcing nomix.com at some point in the future. We need to get to a certain place first. We're going to have iOS and Android apps that we open source. We're going to have, you know, Alexa skills and Google Home skills. Are they called apps? I don't know. They're all called something different, and we're going to open source those. You can have an open source WordPress plugin. Like, there's just a whole bunch of things that we're going to do. And I really like open source communities. And I like that as we do this, we're basically creating example code for our API. So yeah, I really like that. I really like the fact that APIs, for the most part, have metered pricing. So there's the possibility for infinite account expansion. So I'd say the biggest companies in the world, the biggest software companies in the world, allow for almost infinite account expansion. So there's two ways that the products can grow. One way is by having multiple seats. So, you know, if you think about a company, you know, a product like Salesforce, like their CRM, they charge per seat, right? So as a company grows, they have more seats and the company account grows, right? And then another way that it can grow is just, you know, usage, right? So some companies have this combination of metered pricing based on usage and then also charging per seat. So Amazon.com, like Amazon Web Services, is an example of a product that it allows for infinite account expansion, right? MailChimp is an example of this, right? Like, if you have a billion contacts in MailChimp, then you're paying them more than if you have 500,000 contacts, right? I doubt anyone has a billion contacts in MailChimp who's not a spammer, but MailChimp would probably shut them down, right? So, you know, it's not that each account should grow infinitely. It's that there's the possibility for infinite account expansion. And that allows you to have net negative revenue churn, which I'll explain that in a second. That net negative revenue churn is when each cohort grows over time in a way that eclipses account churn. So there's two types of churn in recurring revenue businesses. There's account churn, and then there's revenue churn. And so let's take a cohort of customers. There's the, hypothetically, there's a group of customers that bought in like January of 2018, right? And over time, that January of 2018 cohort can decrease in size, or it will decrease in terms of number of accounts, right? Like, even Fortune 500 companies go out of business, there's mergers, right? Like, no company lasts forever. But the idea around net negative net revenue churn is that the cohorts, that account expansion or account growth of the accounts that don't churn eclipses revenue lost from accounts that leave. Anyway, so I like that characteristic. And then, of course, I'm super in love with cryptocurrency, and I fell down the rabbit hole, and I really like data, and I really like data platforms. Like, we are a true data platform, but that's a topic for another conversation. But I could actually talk for a while here about data platforms, but I won't bore you. There's like nothing that, like, sort of the ratio of something I'm passionate about that like glazes other people's eyes over. Like, there's nothing that has, you know, that ratio like data platforms. So I won't get into it anyway. I guess I just wanted to share with you some of the things I love, you know, why I love software, and some of the things that I'm incredibly passionate about with regards to Nomics. I haven't gotten into some of the nuances, and some of the actually really big ideas that I think allowed us to raise funding, right? Like, there's a much bigger vision than just being the coin market cap killer or whatever. That's in quotes, right? You know, I think there's a much bigger game that we think we're playing. We hope we're playing, but only time will tell. Okay. Thanks for listening. Take care. Bye. Hey, thanks for listening. If you liked this content, please help me out by leaving a review on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts. It provides me with encouragement and it helps other people find the program. Also, if you have a question that you'd like me to answer on the podcast, go to asknomics.com, leave me a question, and I'll do my best to answer it in the next few days. Thanks for listening and see you tomorrow.